Hello, this is Ramesh Ruben. I'm a professional trainer and a consultant in accounting, auditing and risk management. One of the key areas in revenue recognition is accounting for construction contracts. In the recent AB, we discussed the key requirements for accounting for revenue under Section 23 of MPRS. In this podcast, I will share more on the accounting treatment for construction contracts, which is prescribed in Section 23 of MPRS as well. The requirements are largely similar to that under the PERS framework. A construction contract is a contract specifically negotiated for the construction of an asset or a combination of assets that are closely interrelated or interdependent in terms of their design, technology and function, or their ultimate purpose or use. Construction contracts are usually for a period longer than a year. Because of the nature of the activity undertaken in construction contracts, the date at which the contract activity is entered into, and the date when the activity is completed usually fall into different accounting periods. Therefore, the primary issue in accounting for construction contracts is the allocation of contract revenue and contract costs to the accounting periods in which construction work is performed. In particular, determining when the outcome of the contract can be estimated reliably and determining the stage of completion of the contract activity. When the outcome of the construction contract can be estimated reliably, an entity shall recognize contract revenue and contract costs associated with the construction contract as revenue and expenses respectively by reference to the stage of completion of the contract activity at the end of the reporting period, often referred to as the percentage of completion method. Reliable estimation of the outcome requires reliable estimates of the stage of completion, future costs and collectability of billings. Let's look at contract revenue and contract costs first. Contract revenue includes the initial amount of revenue agreed in the contract, as well as variations in contract work, claims and incentive payments, to the extent that it's probable that they will result in revenue and they are capable of being reliably measured. It is probable that revenue will result from A. A variation when it is probable that the customer will approve the variation. B. A claim when negotiations have reached such an advanced stage that it is probable that the customer will accept the claim. And C. An incentive payment when the contract is sufficiently advanced for it to be probable that the specified performance standards will meet or be exceeded. Contract costs. Contract costs include costs that relate directly to the specified contract. Costs that are attributable to the contract activity in general and can be allocated to the contract, and such other costs that are specifically chargeable to the customer under the terms of the contract. Costs that relate directly to a specified contract include site labor costs, including site supervision, cost of materials used in construction, depreciation of plant and equipment used on the contract, cost of moving plant, equipment and materials to and from the contract site, cost of hiring plant and equipment, cost of design and technical assistance that is directly related to the contract, the estimated cost of rectification and guarantee work, including expected warranty costs and claims from third parties. Costs that cannot be attributed to contract activity or cannot be allocated to a contract are excluded from the costs of construction contracts. Such costs include general administration costs for which reimbursement is not specified in the contract, selling costs, research and development costs for which reimbursement is not specified in the contract, and depreciation of idle plant and equipment that is not used on a particular contract. The next area of importance in construction contracts is the determination of separate or combined contracts. The requirements on the accounting for construction contracts are usually applied separately to each construction contract. However, in some circumstances, it is necessary to apply the requirements to the separately identifiable components of a single contract or to a group of contracts together in order to reflect the substance of a contract or a group of contracts. Sometimes it is necessary to break a single contract into its separately identifiable components and apply the requirements in this section, which is Section 23, to each of those components separately. Conversely, there may be situations where a group of separate contracts should be treated as one contract because in substance they represent a single contract. To assess whether to combine or to segregate contracts, an entity should assess whether a contract or a component of a contract was negotiated independently of other related contracts or components, or whether all the contracts or components were negotiated together as a package. To make this assessment, the criteria in paragraphs 23.19 and 23.20 must be applied. It is important to combine or segregate contracts appropriately, since combining or segmenting will have a significant effect on the allocation of revenue and profit between accounting periods. Finally, let's look at the stage of completion determination. An entity shall determine the stage of completion of a transaction or contract using the method that measures most reliably the work performed. Possible methods include A. The proportion that costs incurred for work performed to date bear to the estimated total costs. Costs incurred for work performed to date do not include costs relating to future activity, such as for materials or prepayments. B. Surveys of work performed. And C. Completion of a physical proportion of the service transaction or contract work. Progress payments and advances received from customers often do not reflect the work performed. Thank you.